Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be gathered in your house. Lord, it's such a blessing to know that you provide us with a church family. Lord, everything we have is a gift from you. And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving this morning and this month, this week, as we celebrate your goodness to us, let us always remember that you are the God who gives good gifts. You're the God who blesses us beyond what we can imagine. And you're the God who is worthy of all of our worship this morning. We do pray that you would come and join us so that you could lead us in our worship of you. Show us how we can worship you truly, and make us people who unite together, raise our voices, and give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We've been going through a series this month, a four-week series entitled Give Thanks. It's appropriate time of the year to give thanks, but we've not been giving thanks just for the obvious things in our life. Lord, thank you for the roof over my head, and thank you for my family, and thank you for the meals I'm able to eat. Thank you for the obvious blessings. This series has reminded us to give thanks for the not so obvious blessings we have in our lives. The first week we talked about giving thanks for Christ's suffering. We were thankful that he was crucified. And we talked about how it was both the most horrible and the most glorious event in all of history. And we celebrated the Lord's Supper together as we were reminded of the death of Christ and the salvation it brings. Then a few weeks ago, we said, give thanks for unanswered prayers, times that we really want something, really think we need it, and ask for it, and God tells us no. There is blessing in that because we were reminded that God often has something even greater. Not often, God always has something even greater. And it caused us to look inside of our own hearts and ask, is there anything that would keep me from communicating and being in a right relationship with God? Last week, we talked about giving thanks for our own personal suffering. We talked about how God grows us through that suffering, how God uses our suffering to mold us into who we are, and how we should be thankful that God grows us. It's the time of suffering that we realize God is molding us into who he wants us to be. This morning, we're kind of taking a sharp turn in our Give Thanks series, and it's an odd one as you look in your bulletin or up on the screen. Give thanks for adoption. Boy, how many of you all this month, how many times this month have you said, Lord, I'm counting my blessings. Thank you for adoption. Anybody in here already say that? Maybe a handful. I bet there are some in here. As a matter of fact, the Hoaglands are expecting two official new grandchildren tomorrow morning, afternoon, 9:30 in the morning. They've been thanking God for adoption. I'm sure Debbie has as well, as she's been excited to have new nieces and nephews, niece and nephew, one of each, correct? So as Jason Hoagland is getting ready and his family is getting ready to adopt two children tomorrow morning. Most of us, though, don't think about this idea of adoption very often. As a matter of fact, because it's not necessarily affecting our lives personally at every moment, we often forget to give thanks to God for adoption. And it is important that we remember that adoption is a very biblical principle and biblical idea. And we're going to get into several reasons this morning, three in particular, why we give thanks for adoption. But before we do, let's just look in Galatians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you're following along on your bulletin online, you can just tap those sermon notes. It'll pull up the scriptures for you, or you can follow along the screen as well. Galatians 4, starting in verses 4 and 5. When the time came to completion, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. This is one of several instances, and we'll look at several places in Scripture that we see the principle of adoption in Scripture. This morning, the reason why we are giving thanks for adoption, one, because it's a biblical idea, and we'll talk about it, but two, because this weekend, and I believe it is either today or tomorrow, is officially National Adoption Day in this country. I think it's today. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I know that Jason Hoagland's Adoption Day is tomorrow is because about a month ago, I got in touch with him and said, I would love for you all to come, Jason, and come and preach a sermon on adoption. And he said, I would love nothing more except that Monday is when we're signing papers to officially adopt our two children. So we realize that this weekend is a big deal for a lot of people, but it should be a big deal for us as well. You know, in our country, in the United States of America, there are somewhere around 160,000 orphans in the United States of America. Now, just to put that in perspective, I heard a staggering statistic the other day that just kind of blew me away. There are people who are called to adopt, and there are others who just don't feel that calling on your life. This isn't a sermon this morning to guilt you into the fact that you don't have adopted children. My wife and I don't have adopted children. You don't have to have adopted children to give thanks for adoption. But I do think it needs to be on the forefront of our minds. Think about this crazy statistic, 160,000 orphans in our country. And according to the latest count in the number of churches in our country, if one family in every third church, now that's not three families per church, if one family in every three churches adopted one child, one family in every three churches, there would be no orphans in our country. Isn't that a crazy thing to think about? If one family in every three churches just said, Lord, I feel biblically called to adopt a family, to adopt a child as part of our family, there would be no orphans. It's amazing to think how God has provided our country with enough churches to alleviate the problem of being without parents. This morning, I want to look at three reasons why adoption is an extremely important aspect of the Christian faith and why we ought to be giving thanks for adoption. First, the first thing we need to remember is we give thanks for adoption because the fatherless are a priority. The fatherless are a priority. In Scripture, over and over and over again, and we're going to look at several places, we see that God takes special care of those orphans without fathers and without parents. It comes up time and time and time again. James chapter 1 tells us very clearly what true religion is. If you want to know what true religion is, why do we even congregate together and what our faith should be about, James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We keep that second half pretty well. We exist, right, to make sure we're living proper lives. We have a church family and accountability to keep us in line with what the Word of God says, so that we are unstained by the world. We transform our minds, transform our lives to line ourselves up with what the Word of God looks like. So we do at least an admirable job to try to keep ourselves unstained by the world. But you notice that's not the first thing that James points out our religion is about. Pure and undefiled, true religion is this: look after the orphans and the widows, those who do not have anyone to look after them. James says, if you want to know what true religion is, we need to make sure we are taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves. There's no qualifiers on here. Make sure you take care of the Christian orphans and widows. Make sure you take care of the ones who come to church or at least have a church background. Make sure you adopt from Christian organizations and Christian families. No, James says, take care, look after the orphans and the widows. The fatherless are a priority to God. All throughout the Old Testament, we see this over and over and over again. Exodus 22, verse 22, Moses writes, you must not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. Look after them and take care. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, 29, there's a list of laws that are being given, telling the people of Israel how they are to live their lives. And they come to a place in chapter 14 where Moses is giving instructions on what to do and how to handle a harvest, how to share that with others. And in Deuteronomy 14:29, he says, the Levite who has no portion or inheritance among you, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow within your gates may come, eat, and be satisfied. The Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands. In other words, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, who don't have land of their own, who don't have a means to eat in of themselves, those who are unable to help themselves, you are to let them come and eat. You are to let them have their fill. The fatherless are a priority to God. These are just several verses of dozens and dozens of dozens that talk about orphans and widows. Often foreigners, orphans, and widows. It's a calling for us to see needs in other people and meet them. And there is an emphasis on those who are without fathers, those who are without families, those who need our care and attention. I hope that it is convicting to us to think about those who do not have permanent homes. I hope that it is convicting that we ought to be, as a church, and even more importantly as individuals, looking for ways to support organizations to help find those children homes. You may or may not feel compelled to adopt, and I hope that you will pray and consider if your family would take an adopted child or a foster child in. But you may say, Lord, that's not what you've called us to. There is no shame in that. As a matter of fact, we're all called to different things. But I promise you, based on this principle, the fatherless are a priority to God, that God is calling you to at least pray for, and maybe more, to look for ways that you can invest in helping the fatherless, the orphan. The fatherless are a priority to God. We give thanks for adoption because of this. But secondly, we give thanks for adoption because our own sonship confirms our salvation. The fact that we are called sons of God is what imprints the salvation, what reminds us that we are truly a child of God. We started off by reading Galatians chapter 4. If you're still there, I want to read verses 1 through 7 in its entirety. And look and see how God unfolds this idea of sonship in Galatians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and stewards until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also were children. We're in slavery under elemental forces of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Now listen to this. So that we might receive adoptions as sons. We're going to come back to that phrase, adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I think it's amazing how Scripture has these little nuances and little words here and there that we often read over and miss. But as we study the Word of God, it becomes alive and it reminds us that our sonship actually confirms our salvation. Now, there are a ton of different translations in the English Bible, and you probably have differing ones. Some of you have the same as what I have, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Others of you have a different translation, and we encourage you to read the Word of God in a God-honoring translation, but one that you are able to study well. And some translations have changed this phrasing of being adopted as sons to being adopted as sons and daughters. Let me tell you, that is a mistake to interpret. And before all of the women in here get up and storm out, the reason why God calls us sons is not because He's sexist. He calls us sons because God is not sexist. You see, we, you and I, men and women, are sons in the spiritual sense. In the Old Testament, and even some in the New Testament and in the Bible times, what we find is that the ones who were able to receive the heir were not the daughters, but the sons. If you were a daughter in this cultural context, you did not get the land, you did not get the inheritance, you married somebody and you got their land and their inheritance. There was no women's rights movement at this time, it was squashed, and unfortunately, however you want to look at it, the women in the lineage and of their children did not receive any inheritance. And what Jesus says in the Gospels and what Paul is writing here in Galatians is kind of transformative. It looks at us in Christ and in this culture of daughters receiving nothing and sons receiving the inheritance and says, you, men and women, you are sons of God and partakers in the inheritance. See, there was this false belief that somehow men could be more spiritual than women, that somehow men would receive everything and women were just kind of along for the ride. Paul comes along and he says, listen, there is structure and there is order and there is a calling of manhood and womanhood, but in Christ we are all sons and we are all inheritors. The fact that you are a child of God, a son specifically of God, means you receive that inheritance. We can praise God for adoption because being His son, being His child, confirms the salvation that we have. When we sit back and we say, God, you call me as your son. You call me as your heir. You have given me inheritance and blessing. We can give thanks. This morning, so we think of the stories of adoption and the testimonies we have of people who have adopted. We see these children, little boys and little girls who have had nothing and have grown up in orphanages without the basic need of family. And they go from having absolutely nothing and having no possibility to sustain themselves to being adopted into a family, and just because of their status as a child are now given everything that their adoptive parents have. As a matter of fact, what we see is this biblical idea that you and I are dead in our sins and separate from God. And just because of our standing as sons of God, children of God, this current cultural context, we now have everything that God has given us. Amen. Our sonship confirms our salvation and we give thanks. But building off of that, we give thanks for adoption because adoption is our story. In Christ, you and I are adopted beings. We were fatherless in a world separated from God. We were without the basic need of our Heavenly Father. And as we read in Galatians, and we're about to read several other places, we see that God reaches down and becomes a father to us, the fatherless. He reaches down and He becomes our adoptive father. Psalm 68, verse 5, it says, God in His holy dwelling is a father to the fatherless and a champion of widows. In other words, God is the provider of those who cannot provide for themselves. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery, building off of what we read in Galatians. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This word Abba is this personal, relational word for father. It's like climbing up in your daddy's lap and calling him daddy. It's this very private, sitting close and experiencing God in a real and personal way. Your story in Christ is one of adoption. The crazy thing about adoption, and another reason why we give thanks, is because when you talk to adoptive parents and adoptive children, they are not happy when you call them adoptive parents and adoptive children. My best friend when I was in elementary school, Kenneth, him and I were together all the time, and we spent the nights at each other's house more often than we were apart. Every weekend I was at his house or he was at mine. His family had a place that they could stay at down in the Florida Keys. I grew up in Miami, and we'd go down there for the weekend and swim in canals. And we were just really close from kindergarten, first, second, and even into third grade. I went on family trips with Kenneth and his family. We were able to go and go to Disney World. My only trip as a young child to Disney World was because his family took me along. It was an amazing relationship we had. And somehow, when we were sitting at his house one time, eating breakfast or something, somehow we got to talk about our births and how I was born, this or that. And I remember recalling the story that my parents told me, because obviously I don't remember when I was born, but this is kind of the circumstances, and we're talking and we're laughing. And all of a sudden, Kenneth's mom says, "Well, I wasn't there for Kenneth's birth." Of course, as a first, second, third-year-old kid, I had no clue how that even possibly works. I was just starting to figure out how it worked to begin with. And now she wasn't even there, and I must have given her the strangest look. And she said, "Kenneth, would you like to share with him, you know, what our story is?" And I find out that my best friend is adopted, that his parents were not his parents by birth. You know, it's amazing to me that I had known Kenneth for several years. We had spent so much time together, and it never once came up. Because for Kenneth, that was not his adopted mom and dad. Although he knew what happened, that was not his adopted mom and dad. No, that was his mom, and that was his dad. Kenneth was not their adopted son. No, Kenneth was their only child, their son, whom they loved and cared for from the moment they received him as a baby. There was no adoptive anywhere in their relationship. You know, I'm not sure that it came up ever again in our conversations, because his parents were just his parents. You know, the same story goes for most adoptive parents and adopted children. In his book, Russ Moore, about adoption, Adopted for Life, he writes the most frustrating question he receives about his two Russian adopted boys. Is they adopted them at the same time. One's a little bit taller than the other, though I think they're similar age. And he said he gets asked all the time, "Are they brothers?" To which he always replies, "Yes, they are both my sons. They are brothers." And of course, that's not the question they're asking. So the question is asked again. "No, you know what I mean. I mean, are they like actual brothers?" And he'll look back and he'll say, "Yes, they are actually my kids, and they are actually brothers." Now he explains, he knows what they're asking. Did they have the same birth mom and the same birth dad? And the answer to that is no, they did not. But they are, because of the adoption, Russ Moore's children. They are brothers to each other. There is no separation. The Moores went on to eventually have other kids that they birthed the more natural way. And they are the brothers of these two boys. There is no separation. This is important for us to realize because adoption is our story. In Scripture, it tells us God adopts us as sons and adopts us as children. It's important because we recognize that we have no right and no claim by our natural state to the blessings that God gives us. We do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve an inheritance in heaven. We do not deserve the blessings that God gives us. But because the Father adopted us, we become His adoptive children. But just as equally important, that makes us His actual children. We recognize God the Father has an only begotten Son. There is only one rightful Son. As a matter of fact, this idea of adoption should help you understand this word begotten, right? This word begotten doesn't mean Jesus was born, but it means He is kind of the more traditional Son of the Father. You and I, however, we were adopted into the family, but it does not make us any less of an heir. In this cultural context, the firstborn, Jesus Christ, the only begotten, would get the double portion, and certainly Jesus deserves more honor and glory than we get. But it's crazy to think that God would still save a piece of blessing for us. Not as an aside, "Oh, we'll have pity and we'll adopt these believers," but as an actual blessing as a child of God. As a claim to the inheritance of the blessings God has for us. When we are in Christ, We are adopted and genuine heirs. The adoption story is my story, and it is your story in Christ. This morning, maybe you feel more like the orphan, alienated from a faith with Christ. Maybe you feel more like the fatherless who is searching around, disconnected from your heavenly spiritual father. Maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't understand because this is not my story. I've got great news for you. That while it takes one out of every three churches to eliminate orphanages in the United States of America, it takes far fewer saviors to offer you a home. Through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, through the suffering we talked about several weeks ago, through the atonement, which means the payment that He made for our sins and for our wrongdoings, through that act, God has opened the doors to adopt you as an heir. He has opened the door that if you would simply trust and say, I will follow what your word says, I will ask forgiveness and turn from my sin, I will completely and totally submit to you as a father and me as your child, I will listen, sometimes rebel because that's what children do, but I will ultimately listen because you are a good God who leads us in the right place. I will ultimately submit to you as the Father. In that moment, you become adopted, and that becomes your story. You become a child of God because of your willingness to bow and to trust and to ask forgiveness. This morning, we give thanks for adoption. We give thanks because we have the opportunity to carry out this pure and undefiled religion and care for those who cannot care for themselves. But we give thanks because we are sons and heirs, and our story is one of adoption. This morning, I want you to know, if you have never been adopted into the family of God, you've never submitted and said, I will allow Him to be my Father, and I will let Him guide my life, I want you to know this morning, He wants nothing else this Thanksgiving week than to give you an heir to His blessing. He wants nothing more than to wipe out your sins and forgive them completely, and to love you unconditionally the way a godly father loves a son. This morning, I hope and I pray as we come to this time of invitation that you would ask yourself, do I have that relationship? Is adoption my story? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you. I thank you for adoption. Lord, I thank you for the practical part of it. I thank you that we are able to carry out this pure and undefiled religion. I thank you that you have a heart for those who are without. And Lord, I pray that you would use us as individuals who could reach out to these orphans. But Lord, I thank you because you have adopted me. I thank you, Lord, because although I do not deserve salvation, you give it. I thank you that even though I do not deserve to know you, you reveal yourself to me. I thank you that even though there is nothing about my life that would make me worthy enough to be your son, you become my Father anyways. Lord, I pray for those in here this morning who, Lord, need to make that their story. I pray that you would impress on their hearts the truth that apart from you, they're running away and lost and alone. Lord, I pray that you would show them that there's forgiveness in the cross, that all of their life that has been spent running can be completely wiped away and atoned for through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And I pray they would submit to you as their Lord, as their Father. Lord, we thank you this morning for showing us in Scripture what adoption is and how you care for the orphans, and Lord, how you care for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.